If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
The one that we saw in the Clone Wars was like buried underground for a long time. They were thought to be extinct.
Like Smaug.
Kind of. Like,
you think they collect gold?
Maybe. What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Explained Weekly Q&A. I'm Alex.
I'm Molly.
And what did we get up to this past week?
We did some karaoke.
Yep.
We love some karaoke.
Did we do any Star Wars related songs? I didn't do Weird Al this time.
No, but someone put on Jedi Party.
That's true.
And I was like, are there lyrics to this?
There kind of are, yeah.
I couldn't tell if they were actually singing lyrics or just going like, because by then we had some drinks.
Yeah, we did that, and we also did Seagull's Stop It Now.
Yeah.
Our karaoke
that was
plays.
One of the first ones we did.
Yeah, someone put that on, and everyone in the room was like, already? It's a little early okay. For Seagull's Stop It Now, but we all sang it.
It's cool because the karaoke place that we go to, you can just put on stuff from YouTube.
Yeah.
And like the Seagulls song already has some of the lyrics on mm-hmm. screen, so it was perfect.
Anything from bad lip reading is good. But yeah, someone put Arl Knots on and I think way overestimated how well they knew the song. They're like, I love Jedi Party, and then they all kind of mumbled their way through it, but it was still funny. Mm. We also went to an Atlanta Shorts film festival. The following day on Sunday.
By Cinema Life.
Yes, because one of our friends had a film in the festival that we happened to be in also.
We're actors.
So we hadn't gotten to see it yet. We filmed it back in like November. It was a pretty big production. I was really impressed. Our friend Zach Burkett directed and wrote it. And he was in the Schmodown. You might know him from that if you were a Schmodown fan.
Fellow Star Wars trivia nerd.
I've talked about him before because he beat me at Dragon Con trivia in 2018, which was rude of him, but I'm still friends with him. So we played.
Still not fully recovered.
I'll never recover from that. Our friendship was fairly new at that point, and he genuinely felt bad that he beat me and made me take second place that year. But he deserved it. He won it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we played camp counselors in a horror movie within the movie itself.
Yeah, that was really fun. It was supposed to be kind of like cheesy, almost like Friday the 13th-esque.
Very much so, yeah.
So our acting didn't have to be top-notch.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. And it was funny, too, because we were also playing camp counselors who were normally teenagers and were in our 30s and... So,
that tracks for horror movies, though.
Yeah. But it was like a really quick part. And yeah, it was a fun thing to be a part of. And being able to go to a film festival and see it played for an audience and hear everybody kind of like giggling and clapping for it was really, really cool.
Yeah, it was genuinely good. And I'm not just saying it because we were in it and we're friends with the director. I really liked it.
It was the best one.
So hopefully that'll be out on YouTube at some point. I know they're submitting it out to other festivals and stuff. But yeah, that was our weekend. So let's get into Star Wars talk.
Let's do it.
We're starting off with some Bad Batch questions, which makes sense. And DigiPen92 kicks us off by asking for our final predictions about the Tantiss mission. So now that we're officially on our way to Mount Tantiss, what's going to go down? Do you have any wild guesses?
I don't think my guesses are wild. I have a couple of solid guesses, like we'll see the Zillow Beast again. A lot of people have brought that up. We've talked about it a lot in our live streams. I think Emery is going to have her big moment of helping Omega and the other kids get set free. and the clones. I think she's just going to have like a big turning moment for her character. And that no other main characters die.
Fingers crossed there.
I'm just going to put that out into the universe and make it happen.
I think some characters may die, but yeah, I'm hoping it's not.
Hemlock can die.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Hemlock can die. Rampart, I'm 50-50 on whether or not I think he'll die, so I won't go into that.
We're going to talk about Rampart in a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, there's definitely questions surrounding him. I totally agree with the Zillow Beast. That's been my main thing since they brought it back in season two, and then they showed it being delivered to Mount Tantus. If you're going to do that, if you're going to give us like a definite, it's here, we brought it here, mm-hmm. and Hemlock had that line about expanding our facilities for our larger experiments, like, it's got to be there.
Let's see those larger experiments.
And yeah, I don't want to be in a situation once again where after the Bad Batch, people are going to be like, what happened to the Zillow Beast?
Does it get set free and then does it just live on Tantus?
I guess so.
We don't know
it what... It becomes the new apex predator of that planet.
What's their natural habitat like?
Malastare.
I guess they lived underground?
Yeah, the one that we saw in the Clone Wars was like buried underground for a long time. They were thought to be extinct.
Like Smaug.
Kind of. Like,
you think they collect gold?
Maybe. It's going to collect just... Imperial bones.
Yeah.
At the end of this, it's gonna live in the mountain like a dragon and just collect all of this weird it's gonna become a scientist itself.
Ooh, little glasses.
Uh-huh. Like someone
little lab
Dr.
coat.
Dr. Scalder's little glasses. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put that on. I hope that somehow all the other clones get brought into the mix. I think it would be strange if Rex and Gregor and Hauser, after working so hard in seasons one and two to find Tantus base, aren't a part of the mission in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that they find a way. Someone on our live stream this week pointed out that Crosshair was able to get a message out to the Bad Batch at the end of season two.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get on the intercom and just alert the clones. Hey, this is where it is. Here are the exact coordinates. Yeah. Come get us.
We got to see, the last episode is called, like, The Cavalry is Here or something like
the
that.
The Cavalry has arrived.
Has arrived. So we got to see the Cavalry.
Right. I mean, it could be...
Wait, Cavalry?
Cavalry.
Cavalry. Not Calvary.
That's a place.
Okay.
But yeah, that was Wrecker's first line in The Clone Wars. That was, like, the first line a member of the Bad Batch delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So they were showing up acting like, hey, we're here to save the day. So it would be cool if the tables were turned and the regs come in to save the day.
Yeah.
I will say, though, as far as potential deaths, I'm worried about Hauser. I'm less worried about the main cast, but I feel like Hauser...
We haven't seen him in a while.
We saw him in episode 6 and 7. We haven't seen any of the regs in a while.
Sure.
So I have a feeling that he became like a fan favorite, and so it's a death that would definitely hurt.
Mm.
So... I'm worried for him.
I mean, if someone has to die, I guess I'd rather it be Hauser than Crosshair.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Because early on in the season, a lot of people were thinking Crosshair might be in a position to sacrifice himself to save Omega, and it would kind of make up for everything that he's done. But they've done so much great character work for him this season, making up for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him die.
Same. And, you know, that's such a Star Wars thing to do. It'd be like, you became good again, and now you're dead. Granted, they have done an entire season of Crosshair being good again, atoning. So I would not consider that the same as, like, Ben Solo's back, and he's gone.
Right.
It wouldn't be on that level. But I still hope that he makes it out of all this.
Yeah, Omega has done so much work with not just Crosshair, but all of the clones and the Bad Batch to... shape them into more well-rounded people. So I don't want to see anyone else die.
Sticking with potential character deaths, Nancy asks what's going to happen to Nala Se.
Mm.
Where do you think we stand on her as far as redemption or death, what have you?
I think Nala Se, now that we've talked a lot about who's going to sacrifice themselves, if anyone... we're going to, I think she'd probably be the best character to do it after everything she's done, and she doesn't have a place to go back to, unfortunately. Kamino is kind of destroyed. So if she were to sacrifice herself to help Omega or Emery or anyone get out of Tantus, I think that would be fitting.
Yeah, I would guess that she's not going to make it out of this.
Not that I don't want her to. I want everybody to make it out, but...
Except for Hemlock.
Except for Hemlock.
All the Imperials, they're cannon fodder. They're just maybe Zilla Beast fodder. But Nala Se, I do think back to the Clone Wars, and I'm like, yeah, she wasn't the best back then. I feel like the Bad Batch has done a lot more to make her more sympathetic. We've gotten to know her more, but she also did my boy Fives very dirty and was in on the entire conspiracy of Order 66. Mm-hmm. Granted, I think she thought it was just for in the event of rogue Jedi and not let's wipe out all the Jedi.
Right.
But still, she's definitely, I don't think she's done as much as Crosshair to make me fully think.
Well, she's been imprisoned this whole time.
That's true.
On Tantus.
So she hasn't had that much of a chance.
Hasn't been able to really do much, except she did, you know, she was throwing away Omega's samples, and that worked for a little while.
And finally, Lil God wants us to talk about Rampart. Do we think he is going to stay loyal to the Batch? Do we think he's going to turn them into the Empire? How do you see this going with him?
I can't really tell. I feel like if he had the chance to really make them believe that he was good again, or was he ever good?
Yeah.
If he was going to be good and going to be fighting on their side, he would have done it by now. And the whole time he's just kind of been grumpy and been like, well, I'm here, aren't I? Like, he has no other choice.
But he also, I would say, had ample opportunity to turn them over to the Empire, and he didn't.
I think he's just in it for himself. You know, if he turns them over, they're going to find out that he escaped prison and probably put him back in prison.
Right. I think I agree that the second he gives them up, they'll be like, thanks, you're going back to jail. Like, yeah. I think he knows the Empire doesn't care about him. I don't think he can win favor back. So I guess I'm hoping that he'll help the Batch. Or maybe, I guess my biggest hope is that he doesn't hinder them. Like, he's going to be along for the ride. I think he just wants to get back off Tantus and go live his life somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just go off in solitude. I don't think there's really much chance for him to overtake Hemlock or something and be like, now I'm the master of Tantus.
No.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants that kind of responsibility, but I'm not sure yet if he's going to go all in with helping them, or if he's only going to go so far.
He's going to do the bare minimum the entire time.
Yeah, and then try to dip.
Yeah. I don't know that there's anywhere to dip to on Tantus.
That's
so
true.
Like, he does need to, maybe he'll just try to get away from them, steal his own shuttle and leave.
What if he ends up going with them, like staying loyal through this whole finale, and he ends up living on Pabu?
I'll be shocked. I don't think that's really the ending Rampart deserves, but we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, a lot of people have forgotten what he's responsible for,
mm-hmm.
and that is the destruction of Tepoca City.
And I would say all of Kamino. They said they destroyed all of their facilities and cities, so I don't really see him making it out alive. It's just, is he going to be loyal to them or not? And I think, yeah, bare minimum, dragging his feet, just doing enough to survive and not have them kill him.
Mm-hmm. But, although he did seem like he was having a good time, you know, playing his part on Mount Tantus. So I don't know. We'll see.
On the way to Mount Tantus.
On the way, yeah.
I don't think that now, because he just thought he would get in and get out and go wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like, what do you mean I have to go to Tantus with you? He was not.
He's stuck with them.
He was not happy about that. So I do really like this, that he is part of the team now, for better or worse. It adds a lot of tension. And I do think a lot of the emotional tension will be surrounding him and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's convenient courses teach you real-life conversation skills in different languages, so it's easy to learn how to order food, ask for directions, and more without having to consult an app while on vacation. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold, plus all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/Star Wars. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/Star Wars, spelled BABBEL.com/Star Wars. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Moving away from the Bad Batch, Elo Asti asks if we think there will be any Force-sensitive characters in Star Wars Outlaws. I do think there's a chance for it.
Who do you think it would be?
The first thought that I had was the Knights of Ren. Because they, at this point, are allied with Kira and Crimson Dawn. They're kind of off on their own missions. They're breaking into Fortress Vader. They're going to secure this device called the Fermata Cage. I think this is all going to be taking place during the Crimson Reign part of those comics that happened. And it has to be before Hidden Empire, because that's when Crimson Dawn falls apart again. So I think there's a chance that if we were to work with Kira and Crimson Dawn, then maybe we would do missions alongside the Knights of Ren. Or on the flip side, if we were to betray Crimson Dawn, my hope is that kind of every single criminal syndicate would have their own bounty hunter to send after you. The Hutt Cartel might send Boba Fett after you if you keep screwing them over. So if you do a lot to mess with Kira, she might send the Knights of Ren after you.
I hadn't even thought of them as an option, but that would honestly be a good choice, because yes, they are force sensitive, but kind of just enough to be like a big boss fight if you needed to like get away from them. Obviously, you wouldn't be much of a match fighting them if you're not able to use the Force, so... Yeah, I like that choice. I don't know. I'm trying to rack my brain, like, who else could be around, but...
It's like, yeah, we have Slim Darth Pickens. Vader and Palpatine and Luke, but they're not so involved with the Syndicate side of things. We know the Empire will be around, but, you know, Darth Vader shows up, you're screwed.
Yeah.
The Knights of Ren are Force-sensitive, but they're not on that level. So it would be scary to have a bunch of dark side users coming after you, but... not, like, unbelievable that you would be able to escape.
I hope Leia's in it at some point, somewhere.
I mean, she is kind of allied with Kira at this point, too. Like, you know, when you look at all the criminal syndicates that you have the opportunity to align yourself with, I'm like, y'all, pick Crimson Dawn. I mean, we know, if you read the comics, you know that it doesn't last, but at least over the course of this video game... I think they're a pretty safe pick. They have a lot going for them.
Yeah. I only say Leia just because I want to see her pop up in the video game. And that's kind of a cop-out answer because, yes, technically she's Force-sensitive, but at this time, she's not really going around using the Force.
Yeah, not on purpose. She doesn't know her lineage yet. Right. So
other than that, I kind of just don't want to see any Force users. That's not... really the point of this game. The point of the game is to really immerse yourself within all the crime syndicates. And it's like, why are they in so much power right now? And that's kind of like part of the story of the game.
Yeah.
I think that's more fun. And like, as soon as a Force user shows up, it's a big deal. And right, like whenever Vader shows up in a game, it's going to be a big deal.
And, you know, we've done that twice in the Star Wars Jedi games, where Vader comes in and does something terrifying and then leaves. So, yeah, I agree. I don't really want Vader, definitely not the Emperor, would be chasing Cave S around. So, nah. But the Knights of Ren does feel like an appropriate level of power that would still be fun. You know, we haven't seen them outside of the comics. and the Rise of Skywalker and the sequel trilogy. So it would give people who haven't read the comics a chance to get to know them better, see their leader at this time, who's just named Rin, mm-hmm. and he's got a lightsaber. So there are still some scary elements about them, but I would be able to be like, okay, we can escape them.
Yeah. We've gotten two huge games with Fallen Order and Survivor with like nothing but Force user stuff. So I think it would be fine if there weren't any in this one.
Totally agree that what you said, that this is more about criminal syndicates and exploring the scum and villainy side of the galaxy. And it's smaller scale than the Sith and the Jedi and this always ongoing galactic battle between light and dark. Yeah. It's more just like criminal stuff.
Kind of similar to how I felt watching Andor. Like, Andor did this cool thing where it actually made the Empire look and feel scary.
Yeah.
I hope that this game does the same thing without having to bring in Vader or a bunch of Force users.
I think that's a good point, where we know that there's like that wanted system that'll fill up. And yeah, you might be like, well, great, now Death Troopers are after me. And I'm just a normal person being chased around by stormtroopers, which is a lot scarier than if I were a Jedi with a lightsaber. And it's like, I eat stormtroopers for breakfast.
Although part of me wishes that Nyx was almost like getting a star in Mario. Like, if you get a chance to send Nyx out to do something, you can just go do anything. Because you can't kill Nyx.
Nyx is invincible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Nyx is force sensitive. We'll say
sure.
that.
Sure.
Nyx pulls out a lightsaber. We already know that you can put goggles and like a bandolier on Nyx, so maybe they'll have a little lightsaber.
Maybe there's a mod where it'll be like Grievous, but all the little face tendrils are
holding
tiny,
lightsabers.
Tiny lightsabers. Little lightsabers.
Moving over to the Acolyte, Dan Star Wars Centralized asks what High Republic characters we think could appear in future seasons of the Acolyte, because Leslie Headland mentioned that Vernest Duro is the only High Republic book character in the series, but said that she's been talking to Pablo Hidalgo already about potentially more popping up in future seasons, which, you know, we have to wait and see if the show does well enough to get renewed first, but do you have any guesses on who could potentially show up?
Any characters? Or Force users?
I guess any characters.
I'd love to see Maz.
Sure.
Maz Kanata.
I mean, like, that's the... She's like Yoda, where she gets to be in anything and everything.
She's
it would
so
be
cool,
fun to see
though.
Her at this point.
Like, around the point where she is kind of at the height of her being a pirate queen.
Yeah, it would be cool to see that on screen. Like, she doesn't really give off pirate queen vibes in the sequel trilogy. We get to see it in Phase 2 of the High Republic.
Mm-hmm.
So... that would be neat to see. I mean, we all joke about Geode, but it would be funny to see if they could pull that off on screen.
That would be hilarious.
I don't remember how old Vintians live, but if they can do it,
yeah.
If it actually translates to screen, which I don't know that it would, I'd be up to try.
Buriaga would be pretty old at that point. But
not really for a Wookiee.
I guess not for a Wookiee, but I know we're getting the new Wookiee Jedi character, but I mean, it would just be really cool and mean a lot to High Republic fans to see Buri.
Unfortunately, a lot of the characters, a lot of the human characters are just not going to be alive at this point because it's a good 100 years after the books and comics.
Mm.
So I think it's unlikely that we would see any of them unless they're in like real rough shape.
Yeah. Nubs?
They did say, when we interviewed the creators of Young Jedi Adventures, they did say that Poobians have a long lifespan, so you never
old
know.
Grizzled Nubs missing an eye.
That's the joke we made. It's like, we saw old Yoda and then got baby Yoda. Let's flip it. We had baby Nubs. Let's go get old Grizzled Nubs.
Yes.
Who's been through a lot. But he still sounds just like that.
Yeah.
His voice never drops. D. Bradley Baker still voices him.
He still does that little dance move where he's like, ooh, cha,
yeah.
ooh, cha,
after
cha.
Cutting someone's head off.
Oh, God.
A lot of the other ones I think of are people I wouldn't classify as High Republic characters, like Yoda or Yarrel Poof or Yaddle. they're just characters that
Yaddle would be great.
Yeah, but she's not a High Republic specific character.
Neither is Maz. We're just talking about characters who would maybe be alive at this point.
It would be really interesting to see Orbelin, the
jelly man,
yeah, who at some points in the comics wears a suit so he appears humanoid, but he doesn't have to. He can just be a jelly man.
Yeah.
So I assume maybe a lot of the aliens in Star Wars just seem like they, by default, have long lifespans. So maybe he could be around.
Would Skeer possibly be alive then?
Trandoshans have long lifespans. So yeah, that'd be fun to see a Trandoshan Jedi on screen in live action.
Yeah. We don't know what his fate is as of right now, right?
That's true. I mean, well, that's true of every High Republic character at this point. We're like, I mean, hopefully they're around. Hopefully Buryaga makes it out. For our last question, Mike123 asks if there's going to be a Star Wars movie out in 2027 for Star Wars' 50th anniversary.
Ooh. I hope so. I don't think it's... Well, it wouldn't have anything to do with the anniversary, but I mean, I am hoping we get more movies.
Yeah, I think that there probably will be one. If I had to guess, it would be the new Jedi Order movie.
Maybe we'll get a new, like, gallery episode kind of thing, or like a new documentary series for Disney Plus. I would love to get some new interviews with George Lucas. I know it's not probable, but...
He's maybe. Come back. Like, he did interviews for The Mandalorian. He did them for Light and Magic. So yeah. I think it's reasonable that he would sit down and talk about Star Wars 50 years later.
I would love to see that.
A feature-length documentary, like, retrospective on Star Wars would be super fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we get a new physical release, which... I would actually
add it to the pile.
Yeah, well, I would like it just because I don't like the current 4K box set.
Yeah,
it's just kind of a pain to get in and out of and display and everything.
It really is.
So I kind of want like a new set that's easier to
access. It's kind of clunky.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're ever going to release like the original unedited versions of the films, but 50th anniversary seems like a good time.
It would be a nice time for it. I suspect that part of George selling Star Wars to Disney was that they don't get to release the original trilogy. Maybe there's like for a certain amount of time on that. 50th anniversary would be a fun time to do it, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Yeah.
But as for like what else is coming out in Star Wars, it sounds like Mando and Grogu comes out in 2026, so I think it's plausible that the new Jedi Order movie could come out in 2027.
Mm.
And I'm sure we'll still be getting Disney Plus releases. That might be season 2 of The Acolyte, assuming it gets renewed.
Something else I've been thinking of, which I don't know if we'll get any more of these, but another Star Wars parody, like, episode or movie or like miniseries would be fun. If Robot Chicken did new updated Star Wars
maybe
parody
They'll finally put out Star Wars Detours.
Yeah. That feels like something we haven't gotten in so long that would just be really fun.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a Disney decision. Like, I feel like Star Wars Detours probably got killed during the purchase. Just they seem very protective of the brand now, where we've talked about this before, where like there used to be that commercial with Darth Vader and his lightsaber runs out of batteries and it was an Energizer commercial.
Yeah,
like you'd never see that now, but if they were to loosen up a little bit, which I think they have over the years, so maybe one day we could just see all of Star Wars Detours.
Yeah, I'm shocked that they haven't thrown Mando and Grogu in random commercials like that at this point. But I guess they don't need to.
Just doesn't happen anymore.
The way you said detours.
Just let me say, let me talk how I talk.
It shocks me every time.
Tour.
No, you said detours.
Tour. Hush. That's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to leave a question for next week's video, just put it in the comments below or sign up for Patreon to join our weekly Q&A discussion. If you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the channel.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky.
And as always, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.